This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Hello and welcome to The Forum. My guest on this weekend's show is Mark Kurlicker. He is the secretary of the Macoupin County Amateur Radio Club. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
Mark, we're going to discuss today amateur radio and emergency communications. And first off, if you would you just sort of explain the concept of amateur radio?
Amateur radio has been around since prior to World War I. It's basically a way of radio enthusiasts to get together and to communicate. And we are regulated by the FCC, Part 97. And it's a very exciting hobby because it not only includes older technology, continuous wave, Morse code, but the most sophisticated digital technologies now today, including satellite communications with the International Space Station and communicating in, throughout the entire world with other amateurs around the world.
Amateur radio can play a part when there's a natural disaster or some type of emergency, even when all other forms of communication are cut. Maybe you could talk about radio amateur as far as that.
Amateurs are very, very excellent in their preparations with emergency communications. We are organized ourselves, but we're also organized with local governments and state governments and on the federal level also. In Macoupin County here, we have a network of amateurs that at any moment can be called upon for any disasters, weather-related or other disasters that could happen. That's organized through the Macoupin County Emergency Agency here in this county. So our club, the Macoupin County Amateur Radio Club, always is ready anytime in any emergency, because that's our main public service to the public.
If like we had some type of emergency service, your group or an amateur radio group could tell somebody, an emergency responder at some town or location, hey, this is what's going on here, if they weren't able to communicate. Is that sort of what you do?
That's true, because cell technology is not always reliable. It is reliable most of the time, but our saying in amateur radio is that when all else fails, amateur radio is there, because we're always portable. We're always able to set up stations quickly, and mobile handheld technologies with handheld radios, similar to cell phones, but we're very public service minded, and we wish to serve the public in that way. And in that way, we can get the communication routes going very, very quickly, very quickly.
Anyway, we were talking about emergency communications, and as you said at the beginning of the show, it is for communicating with amateur radio across the world, and I guess we would call it a hobby. And maybe you could talk about just the hobby side of it. It's pretty popular.
The hobby side of it is exciting because there are so many facets of the hobby, ranging from communicating by Morse code, which was probably the very, very beginnings. We have to thank Marconi for that, for pioneering that, and Michael Faraday and Hertz and all those scientists that actually did that. But we also communicate by a voice, single sideband, and there are so many facets of the hobby, including communicating with satellites, bouncing signals off the moon and communicating, communicating with the International Space Station. That happens not on a regular basis, but it does happen. Communicating down the block or around the world, nation to nation. And I have unlimited minutes when I communicate nation to nation, because I have no bill to pay for that.
Someone sitting out there going, you know, this might be a hobby I'd like to get into, and I guess it can get as expensive or as easy as you want, either way, but how does one begin to get into the amateur radio field?
You would be surprised that the people that you know, you probably know an amateur radio operator, or a ham as we're called, and probably the best way to get involved is to join a look up a club. The Macoupin County Amateur Radio Club meets once a month, the first Wednesday of every month, except for the 4th of July. We're going to be meeting July 11th. From meeting people at the club, we can get you in contact with materials where you would have to pass a test. The FCC regulates that. There are three test levels. Most people begin with the technician class, and that technician class allows you to talk on the most popular amateur radio bands, and also get you some DX bands also in the 10 meter band. And then from there you can progress through the second level, and the most challenging is the extra class also. We are always helpful at the meetings to introduce the hobby to new people and to show them the materials and to show them the equipment, and it's exciting to get new people involved.
What would go into your first pieces of equipment if you were starting your own amateur radio?
Well, depending on what your interest is, most people get involved with the 2 meter band, which is 144 megahertz, and most people have either a mobile station in their vehicle or a handheld handy talkie, and you can immediately get involved with emergency communication that way also, because we have a network set up with different radio stations that are interconnected, and very, very helpful, especially when the more people we have, the more people who are trained to be emergency responders, just the better our public service is to the public.
And as far as the testing, how long does that actually take for each of the various types that you just described?
The first level is a 35-question test. That's the technician level. It covers operating procedures, FCC rules and regulations, basic electronic theory, a little bit of math that shows you how to build antennas and asks you power requirements and how your radio works. So you have to know how your station works, because as your license, you are the control operator of that station and responsible for everything that comes out of that station. The second level is another 35-question test. It's called the general class, and then the extra class is a 50-question test. Those materials all cover in depth what I talked about before, but they get more technical and more more advanced, and the more you want to get involved and to move up and challenge yourself, it pays off in the long run for you as an individual, as an operator.
And as a final question, there are a few safety precautions with amateur radio that might come up, is there not?
And that's part of the licensing too, and that's part of where the club comes involved, and these our network of friends who say, hey, here's what we have experienced, and here's what we need to be aware of, especially with power requirements from the radio, constructing your own antennas, transmission lines, and that's all covered in the questions when you take your test. And also, common knowledge of all the hams helping everybody together.
You made mention that you can contact the Macoupin County Amateur Radio Club. Any other places that one could go to for more information if they want to pursue a little further?
The Amateur Radio Relay League is our self-governing body that promotes amateur radio worldwide, actually. And that website is www.arrl.org, I believe, is the website. Our local club site, the Macoupin County Amateur Radio Club, is K9MCE, and that, if you just do a Google search on that, that'll come up, and that'll take you to our club site with all the information about our club.
Mark, I'd like to thank you for joining us on the forum.
Thank you so much.
And you can join us again next weekend for another edition for WSMI. I'm Rick Davis.